Hi guys, this is Nadia Hilker. I'm playing Magna on The Walking Dead, and you guys are listening to The Walking Dead Talks Through. I hope you guys enjoy this podcast, and I'm sending all my love. Bye!
Hello, my name is Cassie McClincy. I play Lydia on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through. Yay!
Hey there, guys, I'm Callan McAuliffe, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Survivors, welcome to episode 110 of The Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And I'm Brian.
Hey, Brian. Welcome again.
Yeah, I don't know. First, I wasn't going to be here, then I was going to be here, then I was going to be here for a little while, but maybe I'll be here for longer.
Well, we will like you however long we get you. All right, well, we will be covering The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 11, titled Morningstar. But before we get started, we did get some additional feedback for The Walking Dead Season 10, Episode 10, Stalker, and that comes from Kevin. And he sent us his feedback through the feedback on the website, and this is what he had to say. He said, "This was a great episode. My biggest issue was everyone giving Beta a second chance. Laura should have cut his head off, and Judas should have put a slug in his head. It's the zombie apocalypse, people. But regardless, I was writing more to let you all know, in case you don't, about Philo. There was a discussion on how AMC Premiere pushes other shows automatically. I don't have it, so I don't know how it works. But I avoided cutting the cord for a long time because I couldn't find a place that carried The Walking Dead. Then I found Philo. For about $20, yes, I know, another paid streamer, it gives you a bunch of those stations you would get with basic cable. AMC, Food Network, TV Land, all the Hallmarks, etc. It has a DVR feature, and although it has commercials, you can fast forward through them. So, just an option. Keep up the great work. Love the podcast."
Yeah, I just switched. I was going to drop my cable entirely today, but I kept Spectrum Essentials, which is like the lowest possible thing. It basically gives you a few cable channels, included as AMC, and a couple other channels that we use, but it doesn't include locals. So we did that, and we upgraded our internet, so now we've got 400 down. So it's already noticed the difference, and it was basically it almost completely like offset, but I was prepared to drop, and then I started realizing, oh crap, I'm gonna lose AMC Premiere. Yeah. So, and a couple other channels that my wife watches, so, but the rest we can get on Hulu or CBS All Access for CBS. So
yeah, and worst comes to worst, fine. If you need local, you can just get an antenna.
Well, yeah. The local CBS is through CBS All Access, and plus there's it comes with, they have this Bay News 9 here, which is like a local 24-hour news channel. They specialize in hurricane watch and stuff like that. So it's useful, but I don't know how long, you know, whether we'll keep that long term. But crappy thing, you mentioned this, Mark, last week, the AMC really needs to make it so that you can subscribe without having a cable subscription, because they're just shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, it's getting worse.
Yeah. So otherwise, we would have just done that, but so we kept it basics. So
get more speeds, always good. So
yeah, and what's fast? It's fast. So
Alrighty, well, let's move on to this week's episode titled Morning Star. It was written by Julia Ronchman and Vivian Tess, or is it Say?
Say.
Say, okay.
Julia Ruckman.
Say, Vivian, what's your name?
Well, they don't have anything on IMDb that, like, phonetically spells it out, so.
Yeah.
Ask Siri.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Written by Julia Ronchman and Vivian Say. Directed by Michael Satrazimus. And the description is, the whispers are coming for Hilltop. After Daryl and Lydia's encounter with Alpha, the communities must decide whether to run or fight. Meanwhile, Eugene's communication with Stephanie gets complicated. Let's go on to our ratings. Mark, what'd you rate this episode?
Well, I gave it 9.2. Morning stars that Daryl wields at the end of the episode, slugging those Zeds.
Yep. And I gave it a 9 kinky whisper shit. And Brian?
9 respected, well-deserved massacres. Also known as 9 Battle of the Dead Bastards.
Yep, a little Game of Thronesy.
Yes.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, let's go on to our listeners' ratings. And you want to take the first one, Mark?
Steve from Oklahoma City gives it 9 out of 10 celestial ordained meet and greets.
And Alex from New Jersey gave it 9 out of 10 rats. Why did it have to be rats?
Glynis from Toronto gives it 9 out of 10. Not a loser with forlorn heart. Reminds me of the song Owner of a Lonely Heart by Yes.
And LT from NC is giving this one a 9.75 out of 10 flaming bags of pine tar. Alrighty, well, let's go into our awesome sauce.
Awesome sauce!
Alright, our first awesome sauce comes from Alex from New Jersey, and he gives Alpha's plan to make them part of her group as walkers. It's great that Eugene has some love, even though it's over the ham radio. Hope it's not a trap. The conversation between Judith and Daryl about her fighting. I like that they took the time to show Daryl and the King have a conversation about the kids. Yeah, the Alpha plan little twist was definitely a really kind of awesome little thing at the end.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, Steve from Oklahoma City says, Lydia and Carol scene and Daryl and Ezekiel scene. I love the little moments between the characters. These actors and writers are really good this season. Mm-hmm. And I do agree.
Yep, I agree. Glynis from Toronto, she gives her awesome sauces an ingenious electrifying idea of defense to kill all those walkers. Pity the electric fence power surged after such a short time. Yeah. The Whispers did one step better by having the sap incendiary explosives set. I thought Beta was at first taking time out of his day to make some maple syrup. And Judith drawing up and standing tall with her dad's holstered gun. That gun looked nearly to be half her size to show Daryl she was ready and able to fight. Yeah, I definitely love the whole, I mean, I think I kind of, or we go into it later a little bit, but yeah, the whatever, the maple syrup tar bombs. it is really cool to see them really take some kind of almost ingenious ways to like create weapons.
That would lead me to LT from NC. Being from the land of the longleaf pine, I knew the right of off what they were doing in the opening. My only deduction was I have to wonder what they cut the pine rosin with to make it splashy. While they could have cooked turpentine out of it, that would require stills, so still a very cool plot point, especially knowing Hilltop is a very wooden settlement. Eugene and the radio romance. Not sure how this is going to play out, but I hope there is a payoff on this one. I also hope this doesn't play out like a zombie apocalypse dating app drama. Eugene and Rosita. I just had to wonder if he would kiss her, but I guess he's got it bad for the voice on the radio. And then his last part would be, Carol, I like the scenes with her and King E and Lydia and Daryl. Just the look on her face while all of this was going on showed just how much crap she is dealing with. The look on Daryl's face when he said what he did to her just tore me up. Now we just have to see what happens next. And it's all about, yes, what happens next. I do believe so.
Yeah. And again, they definitely are doing a lot of good character interactions and just like kind of setting up the story, doing a lot of that so far this back half, which has been nice. Alrighty, well, then that goes into our awesome sauce. Mark, you want to just go with yours?
Well, my first one would be a little bit long, but I'll keep it short. Eugene and Stephanie on the phone. Plus, hearing Eugene sing the Iron Maiden song lyrics from When the Winds Blow from the Final Frontier, an album I was not a huge fan of, but being a Maiden fan and the fact that it came out of a 2010 album made a huge impact, apparently, on the zombie apocalypse and Eugene. To see that there are more Maiden fans made me happy. Listeners, you wouldn't know this, but I was a bass player in an Iron Maiden tribute band back in 1993 called Prowler, and we did, you know, Iron Maiden covers called the Iron Maiden Tribute. We were in one of three Maiden tribute bands within the tri-state area for New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey. So that was pretty much fun, but I got a good kick out of hearing the song. And it actually worked into what was going into the story.
Yeah, totally.
My next point would be, I think that Kelly redeemed herself for me a little bit from the cave. She showed a little bit of aggression and boosted herself up to, you know, during the battle and everything. So, and then the talk with Lydia and Carol on the porch. Carol stated that she will kill Alpha. So I'm hoping to see that. And I want to see that come true.
She says it. She probably means it.
Yeah. And then obviously the war scene. It reminded me of Ash versus the Army of Darkness, but it was really strong. They were there to protect themselves. I was just waiting for that car with the helicopter propeller on it. Or maybe a windmill.
That's awesome. Well, all right, I'll go into mine. It was like, I mean, a lot of everybody's kind of already brought up a bunch of some of the same points I would have had, but I did like Earl kind of made me feel like he was being a little bit of the Rick that we miss, because he was just like, you know, he's always like, you know, we have to stay and fight for what is ours. You know, he was trying to rally everybody to just be like, yeah, we're not gonna just like, you know, everybody seemed to be like, oh, well, we can't do this, let's cut and run. And he at least was trying to, I guess, keep them together in that sense. I thought that was kind of nice. Stephanie and Eugene talking about falling satellites. It was just kind of, I don't know. I like the idea that it's something that is still happening in this world, even though it's been like who knows how many, you know, decade at this point.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just kind of neat to see, like, they were talking about shooting stars, and then it's like, oh, that satellite. And then Eugene knew, I guess he had seen it too, or, you know, whatnot. But then him using it as kind of a measure about how far away she was, I thought that was kind of cool. And then, of course, like the sat bombs, just because that's such a, you know, we're at this point where obviously weapons are very kind of basically, like, guns definitely are like almost non-existent. And, you know, everybody's kind of having to fashion their own kind of like little weapons, or just their whole, you know, Roman tactics, you know, and like the shields and all that stuff. To like, here we have the Whispers and Beta, like making these basically like siege, you know, weapons. And just the idea of like, oh yeah, we're going to have flaming arrows. And, you know, it's almost kind of like did they come across a library that had like all these like, like Roman history books, and everybody like started like reading the War and Peace.
Or maybe they had a history teacher.
Yeah, one of the Whispers. Yeah.
I had totally forgotten about the sap bombs when it was only like after the fact that I realized, oh yeah, when they said it smells like Christmas trees or something, I'm like, oh, that's what that was. Yeah, I completely didn't even realize what it was. I kept on like expecting, you know, them to crack open the maple syrup or something. But I guess it's not that kind of sap. So, I liked Earl too, but what I specifically liked was his reaction to Mary / Gamma being there, because it makes total sense. And, you know, I kind of think Aaron was a bit unrealistic thinking that everything would just be okay. I mean, if you were Earl, would you want Mary to just show up and want to see her nephew? No, of course not. So I just hadn't even thought of that whole relationship, but I should have. It was like one of those things. It's like, well, of course he wouldn't want that. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Carol and Ezekiel, kind of not really hooking back up, but, you know, kind of being together. I think they've been both through quite a bit of trauma, and it makes sense for them to make up, at least, you know, make up of sorts. It feels right, probably won't last, but to me, they're the best, you know, healing up. And I don't have it written down here, but I guess I'll agree with you on the whole Stephanie Eugene thing, Kyle. So I think that was good. And props to Maiden, because it's Maiden. I guess it makes sense. Like you said, that album came out in 2010, so that was probably like one of the last, you know, metal things from any band.
Yeah. That's true.
True.
All right. Well, that was it for our awesome sauce. So let's go on to weak.
Yo, worthless and weak.
All right. Mark, you want to start first?
Sure. Steve from Oklahoma City says, that Michonne is taking so long to return. As good as the writers are this season, I wish they had found a better way to write Denai out of this episodes.
Yeah, she's definitely MIA.
And I think she only has one more episode.
Is that how many she had left? Or thought she had...
Well, you know what we haven't seen yet? There was something for the trailers where Michonne has Negan's bat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's something we still haven't seen in the show. So I'm thinking that we are going to see her again, even if it's in like a flashback or something.
Yeah. All right. Well, Alex from New Jersey is next, and his weak sauce is Alexandria defenses. You would think they would be preparing better with Thor coming. Yeah.
Very true. But they were preparing. We saw them at the beginning of the actual season doing that with the shields and everything. So
yeah, and they were at Oceanside. So, I mean.
And Earl is at work, hard at work with all the metal stuff that they were catapulting at them.
Yeah, I guess maybe they just were still a little behind, maybe, whenever this all happened. Because, I mean, they did try to escape, and then, of course, they weren't able to do that. So it seems like if they were more prepared, maybe they would have just stayed and fought. But, well, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, LT from NC says, I would not want to volunteer to be a scout for the good guys. What are they now, 4-for-4 in the last two episodes? And why didn't our two dead scouts on poles at the roadblock get in the in memoriam? Maybe it was because the unnamed hilltop cannon fodder didn't have names.
Actually, I think they did have names.
And they did acknowledge them. Yumiko actually acknowledged them in the beginning of the episode, unfortunately, but that was kind of a quick glance, I think.
Well, yeah, they just kind of said, oh, that's, I wrote them down somewhere, but I can't find it. But they did have at least a little bit of a shout out.
Yeah.
His second point would be, I love the scene at the gate, but did they not consider either flank? Maybe Alpha is using the old classic strategy of, hey, diddle diddle, go straight up the middle. But come on, I like the electric fence idea, but if it would have been me, I'd have strung a wire shin high around the perimeter because crawling walkers are slower than walking walkers. Not to take away from the scene, which I did like, but it was his gripe, apparently.
Yeah.
And his last point would be, so is Oceanside the closest place to go for a bug out fallback? Just seems like it may be further run to make the when the hounds are at your heels. But then again, I haven't seen a map.
Yeah, I mean, Oceanside, I think it's probably like a day's journey for them. But, it's, you know, I don't know exactly how far, but it doesn't seem like it's somewhere that they could just definitely just like hightail it and be there in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's not around the bend.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like the whole... the electric fence, cool, like, you know, deal. But yeah, it seemed, I guess my only, and that might, maybe I should put it in the sad sauce, is the fact that it just didn't really last very long.
Yeah, it was all car batteries.
No, I know, which is, again, where did they get so many car batteries that at work?
Well, they probably collected them all, and Eugene, in his infinite wisdom, created something to recharge them.
I mean, I'm about to start having fear battery flashbacks. It's like, brings up a really touching subject for me.
Gasoline, gasoline, gasoline.
Yeah, yep.
Yes. And I did write it down. It was Felix and Penny were the two dead hilltoppers that were strung up.
Why do those names sound familiar, like we've heard them before?
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah,
might have, yeah, to, it does, like, sound familiar.
Might do a deep dive and come back with some research on that. All right, well, that was all our listeners' week saw, so let's go into ours. And mine was just the sap bombs, but the thing I kind of felt was weak was just like I never saw. Or they didn't show it reaching the walls of the hilltop. Like, cause, you know, it's like they make their last, you know, fire arrow volley, you know, when they were trying to run away or escape. And then, of course, it just like goes over them, you know, and hits the walls of a hilltop. And then it just all just explodes. And I went back and looked and I'm like, never once did you ever see that happen. So it's like, I don't, you know, it's kind of like, to me, it's a little far-fetched. And I just like, okay, you know, that was just to make it the cool part of the show, you know, when they're running away.
Yeah. I my thought was that the sap just like sprayed all over the place. So
it was too thin.
Well, yeah. But they were so far in front of the walls though. So, I mean, yeah, it's like, if that's
plus their sap arrows.
Yeah,
so. I don't know. I think you make a point.
It was kind of like, okay, sure, we'll just make that happen, and then, yeah.
Flammable walls.
Yeah,
the walls are made of paper mache.
All right. Well, that was all I had.
Yeah, my weak sauce would be, I have to completely admit. Yeah, I'm in agreement with LT about the whole flanking scene.
Well, I understand why they couldn't get help from Alexandria or Oceanside, but why didn't they get on the horn at least? Let them know that they were under attack. That didn't make any sense to me. It's kind of like, okay, so you can't get there and they probably can't get there, but, you know, send them a message and maybe like they'll come with reinforcements or something. That seemed kind of stupid. The pace, my main issue with it is, and there is, if you have AMC Premiere, they have, the opening scene from next week and it's basically just a continuation of this week with the scene. So why, like, basically they had the potential there of the Battle of the Bastards. That's why I called it what I did. But they stopped short. So they, you know, if they just like let the episode play, it would have played, you know, almost like the Battle of the Bastards. But instead, we only got the first few minutes of the battle. Mm-hmm. And that's what I didn't like. It was kind of like getting near the end of the episode. It's like, well, nothing's happened yet. So I was a little frustrated by the time things finally started. I like the drama, but it just seemed, you know.
Yeah, it did take a while before we get to the, yeah. the final payoff.
Yeah, so I mean, that's basically the main reason why it was a 9. Then I had another much, much more weaker thing, but I can't give it to the show itself, but it's to AMC. Specifically, it's to the merchandising part of AMC, but also to Talking Dead and everyone involved for screwing it up so bad. So on Talking Dead this week, they had a little like insert there, like they do with Kaylee Fleming, right? And she was talking about the fin that she painted on, you know, Daryl's jacket to make the new wing. And she made a big thing in that insert about the fact that there were 10 stars on the wing. 10 stars, which roughly, you know, basically is equivalent to the 10 seasons of The Walking Dead. So on the feather, or wing, I should say, on the wing, there are 7 stars at the bottom of it. And then there's one at the very top of it, but it's hard to see. One on like midway on the kind of the outside, and then there's one midway on the inside. They're small, they're difficult to see, but they're there.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she made such a big thing in the insert about there being 10 stars. So later on, maybe 15 minutes later into the show, they do like they do where they give merchandise away on the show. And Hardwick takes out this shirt and he puts it up, and the damn shirt only has 7 stars. and what I noticed is I saw him look down, look at this, notice that it only had 7 stars, and I could swear I saw this look of disappointment on his face, and even in his voice, like just in his demeanor, it's kind of like saying to himself, "What, you guys? How could you screw this up?" Now, and then the funny thing is, later on in the show, when they took an audience question, he, you know, that the audience person gets something, and what they got was a replica of the vest with the painted on wing, and this one had the 10 stars on it. So I just think, like, it was so obvious to me that it just, like, it's like, how could you screw this up? Like that, just like literally, it's like, did no one take a look at this before the show started? Like, look at the clip, the final, it's got 10 effing stars on it.
Yeah.
Seriously, what the hell are you doing, AMC? So.
Well, and especially like the t-shirt one was like what they were giving out to everybody in the audience, but also was like, oh, you can buy this on AMC. And like, you would think that how many people have seen this already, you know, like they saw, like he saw the shirt before, you know, they even started the show, and people, whoever created the shirt, like how did that even happen? Because it makes no sense at all. And then I almost like have a like, because you told me, you're like, oh yeah, make sure you look for that,
yeah,
before, because I didn't have a chance to watch it whenever it aired. But yeah, I almost had that mouth drop moment whenever then the one that they give to the person that asked the question, I was just like, oh my goodness, like that's glaring.
Yeah, that was my take as well. And you know, when I saw that, I kind of went sorry, AMC merchandising, but you guys screwed up.
Yeah, and you know what's happening to them? They're fired.
What I expect is anyone that ordered it, they're going to have a slight delay in their
delivery.
Or there'll be a thing on there and I'll say, not exactly as, or not as shown. And they'll go back and fix it or something. But I just, that was the thing. Like, if she had never said that, nobody would have known. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
If they hadn't, you know, if they hadn't kept that whole part of the clip, no one would have known. But she made such a big deal about it. Like, she said it had 10 stars. Like, I think she said it at least three times, maybe four times. So it was not good. So, but again, that's not on the show. My final weak sauce is also not about the show. It's again AMC. And that is, for some reason this week, never seen it before, the on AMC Premiere, the videos on AMC Premiere started having a black bands on the, like, so in other words, it's not showing it at full screen resolution. So when you maximize, it's not showing the full screen.
Not full widescreen, huh?
Full, no.
Cropped a little bit, or
huh? I didn't have a chance to look at it like on my iPad or on my TV. I assume it doesn't do it in either of those places, but in the browser, it's banning. And I tried it not just with The Walking Dead, but the other scenes, the Talking Dead episode, you know, everything seems to be doing that. So weak sauce for you.
And I just went to the AMC website, and they, on their shopping part, they have that shirt. And of course it has 7 stars, but then they have a picture from the from the episode, and there are 10 stars on the back of Daryl's back.
Then you have to say,
there's a conspiracy out there. You hear what I'm saying? There's a conspiracy. A C-O-N conspiracy.
The 3 missing stars. But I guess you could also say, all you had to do was give a shirt with 10 stars.
And you blew it! You blew it! You blew it! You blew it! You had it all and you blew it!
I haven't been able to play that clip on Star Trek Picard because they haven't blown anything. So, that felt awesome. Good. All right. That's it for me.
All right. Well, that was all that we had for weak sauce. So let's go on to our what sauce.
What?
All right. Mark, we only had the one.
Yep.
From Steve. You want to go?
Yeah. Steve from Oklahoma City says, what is that kid's name? Alex or Adam? Aaron says that Mary came to see her nephew, Adam. Then Earl and Alden call him Alex. Which is it? And I caught that too.
It's a trap!
Is it a trap? It's a name trap.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's if that kid survives. Come on.
that's true.
All right. Well, that was all we got for our listeners, what sauce. So let's go on to ours. And Brian, looks like I didn't have anything this week, but you did.
Well, one thing I noticed, because I used to live in West Virginia, Stephanie said it wrong. It's if, okay, so I assume that she's actually not from West Virginia, that she's going there from wherever she is, probably in Ohio, if the comic books are any indication. And it kind of makes sense because that would roughly be in the middle there. But the proper pronunciation is Kana. It's not Kanawha or Kanawha or however she said it. It is typically two syllables. Well, it's Kana. So at least that proves that she's not from there. Now, I've heard it said, like I lived in Charleston. So, and in fact, I used to work in South Charleston right off of the Kanawha River. So anyway, so it was probably only people that are from or lived in West Virginia would know that one. But why does Lydia and Daryl know that Alpha's coming? Like, okay, yes, they're correct, but how do they know? And why that night? Like, how, like, literally, how did they know that they're coming? I didn't understand that.
Maybe there was a deleted scene where, you know, Beta carved a message on them on a tree with his knife.
There is a deleted scene on AMC Premiere, but it's of Daryl talking to Yumiko, and Yumiko's like shooting an arrow.
Yeah.
And yeah. And that's on there. Like, it's not like an extended, listed as an extended, it's just listed as a deleted scene. So,
well, we also didn't know about Lindsay Register having her character, Laura, having an affair with Eugene in the middle of whatever it was. it was a deleted scene that they didn't even have on the Blu-ray for that season, and I checked.
Oh, how do you know that?
Because she stated that it was a scene that they filmed, but they didn't use it. And I checked the season, which was like season 8, I believe.
Okay.
And I checked all the deleted scenes. I had nothing to do when I couldn't sleep last night, so. But it wasn't there.
Yes, Mark is coronavirus patient one.
No, I'm not.
Corona, like I said on the in Messenger, Corona poop virus.
I wish.
Anyway, and the last thing I just said, of course, Rosita's the one that discovers Eugene's secret. Why would it be anyone else?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a perfect person to confront him on his secret love affair.
Yeah.
Well, I only had one. And I'm like, what in the blue hell is going on with Negan and Alpha? This is not what happens within the comic. It makes me think that Negan will die at some point. Not sure how or by whom, but I think he will die in the end.
You know, it's funny, and I didn't have this written down, but I was going to mention it, is Negan specifically. It's funny, you know, because I brought up the Battle of the Bastards similarity, and he specifically says to Alpha about bending the knee, getting them to bend the knee, and I'm thinking, okay, what is he, Daenerys?
Where she is.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but she's no Danny. She's not far from it. So
she's got a pet Beta, not a pet dragon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he does breathe fire, it seems.
All right. Well, that was it then for our what sauce. So let's continue on to our sad aw sauce. Aww. Well, we didn't get any sad or aw sauce from listeners this week. And I didn't have anything. It doesn't look like you did either, Brian. But Mark,
I just agreed with Mark. So.
Yeah.
So, Mark, you wrote them down, so you say them.
So basically, the first one would be awe for Judith giving Daryl his vest back with a new painted wing on it, replacing the one that was missing. So she gave a little bit of flair, not
with 10 stars.
At least there's no unicorn on it.
Oh God.
Yeah. Or rainbow poop or something.
It was something that was mentioned in Talking Dead, actually right after the 10 stars yeah. thing. She talked about, you know, unicorn, and which is kind of funny because Picard also had a bunny corn
yep.
in it this week.
With pizza.
What, a unicorn bunny.
Yeah, you got to get those venom sacs out. Yeah. My next part would be Daryl is becoming the Rick character in the comic in this scene with Judith, taking care of her and caring for her in general, making sure that Judith is safe and does the right thing and goes with those that will care for her. She is basically the future. So, but it was pretty funny though to see a smile on Daryl's face. I thought the screen was going to break.
Pretty rare mm-hmm. thing.
And then Daryl stating to Carol that he will never hate her. So that was kind of awe. And then, of course, Daryl and Ezekiel, yeah. them coming together and realizing they're both needed and understand one another. And there's just a lot of respect there.
Yeah, I guess I just a quick Ezekiel moment because I didn't really ever catch it. But, you know, like however Carol comes up to him and kind of touches his neck. Like you can see how big of that tumor or whatever it is on his neck. But then like when on Talking Dead where they were doing the deal about the making of the whole fight scene, whatever. But then you see him, Ezekiel, and his like neck is like he's got this huge prosthetic on his neck. So it's like, it's the first time I've seen that it was that pronounced of his illness.
No. No, it's yep. bigger.
Yeah, he's got a huge goiter.
He needs to go to Dr. Pimple Popper.
No.
If only it was that simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was it for our sad and aw sauce. So let's go on to feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
All right, our first feedback is a voicemail from Steve from Oklahoma City.
Hello, Walking Dead Talk Through, Brian, sorry, Mark and Kyle. Maybe Brian's with you. I don't know. Sometimes sometimes Brian's with you.
Surprise. Anyway,
okay, Mark and Kyle. Hey, this is Steve. You know me. I'm me. This is for Morningstar, The Walking Dead. Man, this show is so good. This back half of the season. I love the fact that we have this whole getting together of Hilltop and, oh man, the name escapes me. The dad there, the blacksmith guy. And he's like, you know, they have to fight and he's got that little, that hat on that's like weird little hat. Really, really cool. Anyway, Hilltop has to fight. That's the point. Now, they really haven't had that since. They had other people fighting for them. Even prior to, you know, our group, they kind of farmed out getting the fighting done for them. So that's one of those moments here where Hilltop's got to do something to defend themselves. I love, absolutely love Eugene in this episode. I think Josh McDermott played it really well, and he is doing a great job. He's not annoying to me. And it's great to see that he's finally kind of over Rosita. That whole moment with the whole kiss thing and was just, cool. That Walker trap was pretty, pretty cool, man. The way they set that up, the way it lost power, like that would normally happen. You could see that. So I really kind of thought that was kind of, interesting and, amazing. I also do have one criticism of the episode, and this is now what we're like 3 or 4 episodes past the cave collapse, and we have no information about Connie and Magna. So I can't wait to hear what you guys thought and to hear the podcast. Talk to you later.
Thank you so much, Steve, for your voicemail. Isn't that like Walter White's hat? That like a tattered version of Walter White's hat? Sort of. I don't know. Yeah. I've seen a hat like that before. I don't know.
It was weird because what Earl had on looked like had no brim to it.
Right.
From what I remember.
It didn't. But I've seen... Yeah, didn't Daniel have a hat sort of like that too?
Not that I recall.
Yeah. Mm.
He had some kind of rimless hat. Yeah. I had to react to this. Congrats, Eugene. You're not annoying this week. Well, he still kind of is, though.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I mean,
he still has his long-winded, like, you know, wordsmith wordplay.
Yeah. He can't ever, you know, just say what he's got to say. He's got to throw in these, you know.
Encyclopedia.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have it written down what he said, but I know at one point he let out this long crazy thing to say.
Yeah, well, Rosita is a proverbial BFF. I did like him saying that. It was cute.
Although he could have had some if you want.
Well, he's had plenty of time. Yeah, but I think that's the one thing, like, I'm glad that they've never gone that route because, you know, with the whole history between them.
It wouldn't have been realistic.
It wouldn't have been realistic, but I find it more realistic that it's just like, you know, they're almost like brother and sister.
No, I'm saying it wouldn't have been.
Oh, no, that's what I don't mean. That's what, yeah, I was saying, too. It's like, yeah, if they try to put some or ship them and do something, it was like, yeah, no, that wouldn't have worked. Mm-hmm. But the way they're doing it now, just of, you know, they're family. And, right, you know, he cares for her deeply. But, yeah, it's just like, that's, you know, that's like a sibling.
Yeah.
But that's another good question, though. We have zero info on Connie and Magna. So... They're, yeah, dead, or just like they're now too busy to, like, oh, I guess they're, I don't know. I mean, do you think they'll show up?
It makes me wonder if they're going to come out right at the time and somehow rescue them.
Yeah.
Maybe they're the ones that rescue.
Mm. You know? Yeah.
We also did have, I was going to have this in my notes and I didn't have a chance to put it in. There's that one part where Judith calls out on the walkie-talkie, mm-hmm, and I can't remember who she asked for. It was something like, this isn't right, but it was something like Optio or something.
Kato,
like
that. Or something. Or
yeah. Yeah. So whatever it was, I assume that she was trying to call out to Michonne.
That's what I was gathering.
Although, yeah, that would have to be a freakishly incredible walkie-talkie to reach wherever Michonne is.
Yeah, but she was, yeah. I guess it's just to show that she's, like, still thinking about her mom, yeah, and just...
So maybe Michonne will be the ones that... Maybe Michonne will come back with the bat, and and she'll also come back with Connie and Magna. You know, and a whole thing. But I don't know. I tend to think that we won't see them until like episode 15 or unless they're going to do like a B plot with them, you know, getting rescued or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Glennis from Toronto's feedback would be, the battle plan of the survivors was very similar to Game of Thrones season 8, episode 3. The Long Night, battle for Winterfell also against the undead. With the barriers erected to slow the herd down and all the medieval-type weapons being used, of course, bar the dragons. She continues on saying, it'll be interesting to see how the survivors rally now against the Whisperers and Horde with them trapped between two burning barricades. Yes, very much what LT and I are thinking of. They should have had a rear flank.
Yeah.
Negan doesn't seem to be brainwashed with the whisper or mantra, but just seems to be going along with their sordid rituals to give the impression he's towing the line. Seems to always be watching for where it'll benefit himself. He's not material for the Whisperer Horde mentality for sure. Although he doesn't look to be helping the survivors now in any way, since he used that roadblock tactic from season 6, episode 16, to prevent them getting to Oceanside. Negan is brave to question and push Alpha like he does, as if he goes too far, it'll be off with his head. And I think it's going to be the other way around.
Yeah, I hope so.
I do believe Samantha Morton was only locked in for 2 seasons, as it were. So that's what I got out of her from Atlanta. Glynis continues on saying, Eugene's realization that Stephanie was now more important and that he'd actually refuse a kiss freely offered by Rosita's. His expression was classic as it dawned on him. Hope he makes it to his date next week. Doesn't always bode well in the Walking Dead world. If you make plans and are feeling positive about things, that really tempts fate. Yeah, it seems like, yeah, if things are looking so good, next thing you know, it turns around. Look at what happened to Lydia with Henry.
Yeah. Well, but hey, a week, that's still a long time in this. You know, the war is going to not take a week. So he still has a chance.
Yeah. So it's that instead of, y'all call him back in 3 days, we'll go meet each other in a week. Oh, no call, no show. All right. That's a long time to wait. And Glynis continues on saying, it was great that the various characters got to have some quality time together, make peace and or to clear the air between them before the battle commenced. Ezekiel and Carol, then Ezekiel and Daryl, and then Daryl and Carol, and then Carol and Lydia. Daryl and Judith, and she says Angel and Yumiko. I'm assuming that's Kelly and Yumiko, because Angel Theory plays Kelly. And Eugene and Rosita / Stephanie. And not much quality time, but more damaging than good for Alpha and Negan. Judith's gift of the added blue angel wing on that jacket for Daryl was really cute. I agree. I was worrying with Daryl Judith talk, as you know, Judith will be MIA and separate the kids when Ezekiel round them all up to get them to some sort of safety. As it also alluded to that scenario in the Talking Dead clip of the upcoming The Walking Dead episode. Yeah, if a lot of you guys did not actually watch the actual upcoming Walking Dead, there's a scene where Ezekiel is rounding up the kids and he kind of loses Judith. So that's going to be one of those where, oh, no, we got to watch out for the little one. The little Grimes kid got away again. She's starting to take after Carl, he doesn't stay in the house.
Yeah. If she she finds a big, like can of pudding, I would like to see that.
But. Yeah. But there is another scene that we do see of Judith. So I recommend that you guys go watch that too. You can find all that stuff online on YouTube now. They don't just show it on AMC Premiere or it's definitely on AMC's website. So check it out. So Glynis has one last point. With all the quality time the various characters were given, who is going to be killed off in the next episode? Good question. Main characters are just minor ones like Alden and Earl, both of whom were front and center in Aaron's face, shouting their respective indignities against Mary after being in the background in other episodes. So, yeah, it's kind of hard. We don't know. It's kind of a juggle at this point. So, and then she continues on saying their reasons were valid, since they both faced great loss with Enid, Tammy's heads ending up on the stakes. So if they off those two, then Adam can then be cared for by Mary, which is really disturbing, too. It's like, oh, now I have my nephew now because the other two are gone.
Yeah, that I killed my sister and left the baby, and then, oh, but I get the baby back.
Yeah, exactly.
Earl, I think they're, I don't think there's anything that's going to happen to them. I don't know. I don't, Earl, not for, to both of them, maybe one or the other. But I mean, I feel like Earl, though, he's kind of still kind of an important character, but then I don't know how the comics are portray him at this point. So,
He's been around for a while. Aaron, not so much, but my fear is Luke.
Yeah.
I have a funny feeling something's going to happen with Luke.
Yeah. Well, I guess we will find out for sure. All right. Well, that was all from Glynis. Thank you, Glynis. And our last feedback comes from LT from NC. And he says, they have picked up the pace and the intensity and the quality of the writing this go around. I have to say, I'm getting back into it more than I expected I would. I would have to agree. This back half so far has been pretty decent. He continues on. So I know Negan is getting his whispers on, and he looks like he's down with the program now, but he still tried to give the heroes a chance when Alpha was planning the attack. The problem is, I think what he had in mind was not what Alpha's decided, and that is going to be another wrinkle in the plot line. Not wholly unexpected, but interesting. Speaking of radios, it sure would be nice if they had some of Morgan's magic walkies to tell someone else they needed help. or reach out to Michonne, be like, hey, where are you, girl?
Yes.
I love that little, reveal from Alpha, or Negan finding out from Alpha that, she wants them to join her group, but not in the way that he was, I guess, planning or trying to, make happen. Just the fact that she was just the way she said it, and the way, it's like, I want them to be a part of my horde, I want them to be a part of our group, but not alive. I thought was really awesome. It just, to me, just it kind of upped the more, not crazy per se, but just like the more diabolical of Alpha's character.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's, again, I kind of wish that they had this whole Whisper arc so much earlier, because I think it would have played off so much better if we had a very much shorter Negan arc and then brought on the Whispers.
Oh, definitely.
But yeah, we got what we got, and I am enjoying it so far. So, all right, well, let's go on to our feedback. My only thing I kind of wanted to add is just about Negan. I still, I'm not sure if he's good or bad, or if he still has something up his sleeve. It's just that beginning scene, he's like, helping Alpha, I guess, punish herself or whatever. But it was like, he's like joking with her about, him having to do that. Just saying like, ooh, am I like, is this graduating, my status with the Whispers or whatever? And then she even like kind of says to like, she's like, you joke to hide your fear. But then it's like, then she turns around, it's like, okay, now it's your turn. And the whole time that he's like doing this, you can see him kind of like cringe, like he's really not enjoying it. And he's really looking like, I don't know, that he's almost kind of in a very un-Negan like way that he's kind of disturbed.
Yeah. He's like on the other side of the fence, whereas he was the one in charge. Now he has to be the one that's going to play that game that the person that's in charge is doing.
Well, I tend to think that, he actually like respects them and in some way even may like some of them. And, you know, especially, you know, we know that he's got a relationship with Judith and he knows that Judith is there. So, or suspects it probably. So,
I guess the question is, especially, you know, what we see, what Negan, you know, does later on, but it's just like, you know, like she even like, tells him like whenever it's his turn, you know, he was like, ooh, does this mean we're bonded for life? And then she says, it depends. And I thought that was kind of interesting because she doesn't necessarily really trust him. I don't think he really trusts her though, but, you know, it's just, right. I don't know. I just feel like Negan is maybe kind of maybe in a rock and a hard place where he wants to like kind of get in. Maybe he does want to like switch sides, but then it's very uncomfortable. And then maybe he also still has some kind of idea of like, I'm going to do something to help our group, but he just doesn't know where or when. And, you know, right. And then the whole ending with her basically saying, I'm like, oh yeah, I want them to join me as, you know, basically my herd. You know, Negan's all like saying like, wow, that's like, you know, a badass thing to say. But, you know, right. It's like, I don't know. Maybe then he's all still like, she's really crazy, or like, ooh, I kind of respect that.
maybe he thought that he could overturn her after they bend the knee. So, like, they could overthrow her after that fact. But, so that was kind of his plan.
Yeah.
But, you know, then when she realizes, you know, she's kind of like, oh, well, I was just going to kill him, but, you know,
yeah.
Oh, join them. Oh, yeah, they'll join the flock. You know, it's like, oh, jeez.
He's crazy, got that woman. Lizard tongue, I guess. And
He just miscalculated badly.
I think that's what it is. I think in the end, he is going to be on our side, but it's. Yeah. It's going to be one of those things where it's going to be difficult to know that until
the very end,
until the point where he actually makes his move. And, you know, he'll probably make his move by, you know, either, provide some way of, you know, saving them, or, he'll wait until she drops her guard just, you know, slightly, or, you know, gets alone with him and he'll, you know, bring back son of Negan or son of Lucille, I guess, or daughter of Lucille.
Daughter of Lucille, yeah. I just hope he used, you know, some sort of condom.
I don't think they have condoms.
Not to get trapped in there. Well, he could use the, you know, the dead skin.
Gross.
You know, dude, I haven't thought about that awful thing for 2 weeks. Thanks a lot.
Bad mental picture.
I just do not need to be thinking about those two knocking boots. Just, you know, and I, you know, yes, okay, yeah, they kept their socks on, but as I said, it gets cold out there at night. You gotta do what you can to keep. You know, Mr. Happy, happy.
Well, that's all I had. Mark, did you have anything?
I had one little thing. So, that sneak peek with Negan and Alpha, I don't know if anybody caught it on AMC Premiere or actually on the AMC website, but it shows them heading towards like some sort of cabin. Is Negan leading Alpha to someone in a shack to get her killed? I don't know. It sounds like it's a setup or something, and it seems like some heads are going to roll or something.
Well, I tend to think that he's going to do the deed there. Mm. You know, he's probably
setting it up.
Yeah, he's probably, you know, thinking he's going to get her inside and kill her. Yeah, whether or not that actually happens, I don't know.
Well, maybe he's got gamma.
Yeah, if we find out that the special guest on Talking Dead next week is Samantha Morton.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Might be. I only had one other thing to bring up, because I had one thing here, but we already kind of talked about it, that Stephanie's probably in Ohio. Because it was one thing I was listening to the Walking Dead cast, and I hate to say it, but Jason, I think you got it wrong. Stephanie's not in West Virginia. Why would she have Eugene show up where they live? Yeah. She would have them, you know,
a rendezvous
halfway or something. Yeah. So,
plus, how are they going to meet that special person?
Well, and I do know from experience that, you know, roughly that Charleston, West Virginia, is roughly about halfway between Cleveland and DC. So. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's Cleveland or Columbus or something like that area, then, yeah, it probably makes sense that that would be about the halfway point. And it's pretty much if they came down I-77 from the Cleveland area, or even from like a turn off of I-70, that's pretty much a straight shot down, although it's very windy, twisty in West Virginia, but it's, you know, it would be doable for them to get there. So, my question was, so it looks like Hilltop is going to be burned down. Where are they going after this? You know, so if they somehow escape, which, you know, it's going to be episode 12, I assume they're going to escape. Where are they going after this? Are they going back to Alexandria, Oceanside, out in the wilderness somewhere, crossing the border?
Yeah.
So, that's it.
Go to Toledo.
Toledo, there you go.
All right, that was it. So, I guess next, then, let's go on to news, ratings, and info.
Yes, and what a travesty.
There's a couple weird stories on the news.
I'll give you a weird story. News for ratings is... for a pretty darn good episode, pacing aside, worst ratings ever. This is kind of a milestone episode, actually. The Walking Dead, Season 10, Episode 11, got, for the first time ever, under a 1 in the 18 to 49 rating with 0.92. And in total viewers, it also went sub 3 million for the first time with 2.927 million viewers. So that's pretty bad. So what do you think? Coronavirus? What? Seriously, though, coronavirus, maybe people don't want to tune in because it's makes them think too much about the coronavirus, which, you know, is getting all the hype right now. It makes it sound like, you know, it's got a mortality rate of like 50% or something like that, and we're going to have the apocalypse. Well, I hate to say it. No, it's not. Not to make light of it, but.
Well, that makes me think, though, if there is any kind of like semi-quarantine and people are now more, you know, staying at home, will that make the ratings go up?
Well, you would think so, but I tend to think that people are, you know, they have the opportunity to watch TV, but, and I haven't looked to see how ratings are in general right now, but certainly ratings for this were not so good. Looks like the top things, well, nothing got over that's not true. The American Idol was the only one that got 18 to 49 of a 1.3. So that was it. And then that got 7.251 million, and 60 Minutes didn't get, it actually got a lower rating than Walking Dead in the demo, but it got 9.39 million. So, I mean, it just goes to show you how in general the ratings have gone down. So some of this is Walking Dead fatigue. There's no doubt about it, but it's not just that, like the ratings across the board are down. Yeah. Talking Dead, on the other hand, did better at an earlier time. It got, and the fact that Norm Reedus and Greg Nicotero were on there, it got a 0.32 in the 18 to 49 with 1.322 million viewers. That's way up from last week's 0.14 and 550,000 viewers. But as you can see, guys, in the charts that I provided, it's not good, and it's clearly, you know, the lowest that we've seen. And it, and that whole, you can see the whole of the season 10 seems to be lower than at any point in the show's history. It's I mean, it's just not that. We have friends that have stopped watching. It's some people that I thought would have never stopped watching or have stopped watching. So
same here. Yeah. It's very odd, but you know, I've said it. I started watching this. I don't stop until I finish it. Just like people do with Game of Thrones.
On the Parrot Analytics, which we started talking about, The Walking Dead held its position at number 6. It got a little bit lower in total average demand expressions, is the term, with 66,339,520. I don't know how they come up with that so specifically, but anyway, so 66 million, and that's slightly down from 68 million, but it's at the same position. So that's like the number one, actually, was Saturday Night Live this week with 98, almost 99 million. And SpongeBob, for some reason, SpongeBob is popular right now with 96 million. I have no idea why.
Kids watching it. I don't know, online.
Yeah. Some things that I was able to pick up from this episode and watching Talking Dead, the weapon that Daryl is using, that he's spinning around, that is called a Morning Star. So that's where the title came from. The painted wing idea came from Norm Reedus. So it was actually his idea. And a cool thing, I guess, it's kind of Joker-ish, which I guess makes total sense. You may have noticed the Negan Whisperer mask has a smile carved in it, much like Joker's face. And from what Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Nick Cotero said, because Nick Cotero was one of the guests, but there was like a little insert with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Apparently the mask was created using the head mold from Norman Reedus, not Jeffrey Dean Morgan. So Jeffrey Dean Morgan thought it was really cool that he was wearing Norman's dead skin around, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
And that's it. I didn't pick up anything on the news. I don't know if there was anything other than I know when was the recent stuff for – there wasn't anything new for Denied Guerrero this week, was there? Oh, well, yeah, World Beyond. Did you guys hear anything about World Beyond's
preview
in Cleveland?
Didn't see anything now on
any I mean, they talked a little bit about it on Talking Dead, saying that they're doing interesting things with the walkers, which that seems to be Nick Taro's calling card. I don't know if he's directing anything or not, but there was one thing I noticed him say on Talking Dead. He said that they did something, and it almost sounds like they maybe filmed both seasons back to back.
Yeah, it sounded like that to me too.
Because he was talking past tense, so I really wonder if maybe they shot 20 episodes of, two of 10 or something.
It would show continuity a lot better with the kids.
You would think so, yeah.
And to touch on to what you were talking about, the Norman Reedus mask with Jeffrey Dean Morgan, it's pretty funny how JDM played Thomas Wayne, and he was killed by, quote unquote, the Joker.
Ah. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And with that, that is going to be it for me. I was kind of in and out on this episode, mostly here, but sometimes gone. So that's why you didn't hear me comment on a lot of the stuff. But with that, I'm going to bid you guys adieu. Well,
thank you for joining us tonight.
So
it's always a pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. And listeners, you know, I will be back soon in a more full-time capacity, but it's you had me almost for the whole episode. So some parts you won't hear me at all, but those are the parts where I wasn't around, but mostly I'm here. So anyway.
All right. Well, thank you then for taking some time and joining us tonight. And definitely we look forward to you joining us on a more regular basis.
Definitely.
All right, if you would like to interact with us, we encourage you to follow us on Twitter, and you can find us at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and you can find that at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. Email us at walkingdead@talkthroughmedia.com. And we also have the feedback form, and you can find that at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. Also, we love voicemails, so please give us a call at 216-232-6146 and leave us some of your audio feedback. The deadline for next episode is set for our regular day and time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, Tuesday, March 17th. And all of our episodes are also on YouTube. Just search for Talk Through Media. And remember to subscribe and click the bell to get notified when we have new videos. The videos go out first before the podcast does. I publish everything basically all at once. But yeah, the YouTube hits first. And then once I get done with the actual podcast, I still have to publish that separate. So check that out. All right. To support us, like and review the Talk Through Media Facebook page. And you can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And the best way you can support us is in our new Patreon. We have our Patreon, and you can find that at patreon.com/walkingdeadtalkthrough. And we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, as always, Steve Brown, Alex Baelish, and Lawrence Taz. Thank you guys for supporting us all this time, and we really appreciate it. But if you have not joined our Patreon and would like to, that is where you can find us to, you know, give us, donate just as a little or as much as you would like. We would like it. And also remember to share our posts on Facebook and Twitter when we post them, or tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best way to get us new listeners. And as always, subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or your podcast client of choice. And while you're there, give us a rating or review. We haven't had a review in a while. So if you like what we are doing and like to give us a little shout out, that is a good place to start.
So there are other places that you could listen to us. Until he returns, you can listen to Brian and Ruthie on Star Trek Picard Cast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and most other podcast apps. StarTrekPicard.com. All episodes are available on the Star Trek Discovery podcast feed, as well as StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com and Facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTDP TTM podcasts. Currently, the first 7 episodes with 3 more to go. They have a new Patreon for those podcasts, and you could go to patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie with 3 episodes out and 1 more on the way. So give them some support. Support Brian and Ruthie through patreon.com.
All right. Well, that is not the only thing that's going on, right, Mark?
Yeah, sure. You could also listen to me on Panels to Pixels on the Lex Level Podcast Radio Network. And Steve and I are currently more towards the end of season 3 of Daredevil. So we have about 3 more episodes to go. We'll be recording this Friday. We're recording this on a Tuesday. So check it out. If you have any ideas of stuff that you want us to cover via comic book turned into movie, TV show, or something you just want us to review, even a cartoon, we'll do it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, let's see. Next week's episode of The Walking Dead, season 10, episode 12, and it's called Walk With Us. It was written by Eli Jorn and Nicole Morante Matthews, mm-hmm. if I said that right. And this one is also directed by Greg Nicotero. There is no description as of this moment that we have found, so your guess is as good as our, but from the... the end of the episodes. I mean, we're obviously going to continue the big battle. So, alrighty. So, until next time, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is The Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everyone.
Good night.